Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
We do, and I want to disclose that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. I'm a newsletter publisher educator, and the newsletter is Leibovit VR Newsletters, but the shortcut on the internet is VR Trader, Victor Robert, VRTrader.com. And we are still offering for our annual forecast report and all our other newsletters a 50% off promo. And the promo code is 2022 half off. And that's what you enter, and you get a 50% discount on any of the products.
Are you a financial advisor?
No. As I just said, I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice.
However, we do discuss interesting things that you may want to invest in.
Definitely want to open the doors to some interesting things going on.
Yeah.
Sure.
How would you describe what's going on in the stock market right now?
It's really wild. A lot of cycles in play and so forth. I've been a bear here since mid-March. The big reversal patterns technically saying we're going to have a correction. And for the most part, we have right now. We had a little cycle point here the last couple of days. And we also have what is known as end of the month window dressing, where the last couple of days of the month, window dressing purchases are made to make the portfolio look more accommodative to what's happening. So we're getting a little bounce. We also have earnings reports all over the place, which is, really a roadshow. It's really amusing the way these earnings reports come out. You get a couple, three bad ones, Netflix and IBM and a couple others. And then Facebook, Meta, Google come out with positive ones. Tesla had the big negative one, and it's like a circus. I mean, up 30 points, down 30 points. Some of these big multi-hundred-dollar price stocks. So it's fun for traders if you can catch some of the action. If you're long term, you shouldn't be paying attention to any of it because you're just looking for the big picture move. But I still think we're in a corrective phase here. And I don't think it's over so fast. We have the summer solstice coming up in June, and we had the vernal equinox in March. And I use like some of these big cycle points as possible areas of change of direction in the markets. And we see many of them work. We also use some short-term cycles. We use our volume work. But right now, I think we're headed down to correct the big run-up that we had here for the early part of the year. And then, it should be over by June, I would think. You got the presidential election cycle, and all kinds of other stuff going on out there. But what's mostly amusing, and I've said this so many times on the broadcast, I mean, the discussion is, what's the Federal Reserve going to do? At the beginning of the year, they're going to cut interest rates 5-6 times this year, and now they're down to maybe zero. And the whole life of the market depended on what the Fed was doing with interest rates, which are so ridiculous because they have so little to do with the real inflation problem, which you and I have discussed. They have no control over what U.S. Congress does, spending like drunken sailors. They have no control over international geopolitical events, which have tremendous impact on the world and on the markets. We have essentially World War III already well underway. I mean, you've got planes dropping bombs all over the place, U.S. bombing in Syria or Jordan, or they're attacking U.S. forces, and Israel is counterattacking Iran, and Ukraine is still fighting like crazy, and the money is being sent over there to support that war, and then, defense of Philippines is being talked about now to protect Philippines from China's encroachments. I mean, you know, it's just over the top. I mean, we got the invasion of the U.S. underway, millions of people being let in by, I hate to say it, but a corrupt U.S. administration that doesn't follow the laws of the land, allowing people just to come in here. Not only that, support them financially, to the detriment of people on the street and other people in this country that need support. I just even cover the whole list here, and you've got the attack on the former President Donald Trump, which may not go very far. Apparently, there's a story that came out today that the Supreme Court here in the U.S. is open to allowing some presidential immunity, which would delay the Trump trial, which would allow him to run and probably succeed unless the manipulation of the votes occurs again as it did in 2020. You know, if you say that officially, you're told you're crazy, but I'm more of a believer.
Well, if they say the president has immunity, what's to stop Biden from knocking Trump off? He's immune.
Right.
You know, if you rule that, you know, it's open season on anybody.
Right. So that's why the Supreme Court, even though it's more Republican bias than Democrat bias in terms of politics, I think they're going to common sense here. If they don't allow that, I mean, you know, they Richard Nixon had a problem in 1972. And, you know, you got to, you know, you like you say, Biden gets in again, you might as well accuse him and try to put him in jail as well. So there has to be some immunity protection here. So I think that's what the court is realizing. So it's like, you know, pick your story, you know, what's going on. But, you know, I'm watching the financial television as we're talking, and, you know, all they're talking about is earnings of some particular company. Some are up and some are down.
Well, Microsoft, it seems, was the big winner when it came to earnings. Every division just brought in billions and billions.
Right, right. And then, of course, the question is, you know, stock's up about 16 points in the aftermarket. But, you know, you're looking at a $415 stock. I mean, for years and years, the stock was trading at $30. I mean, I was watching it for years. Yeah, should I buy this thing? It's just not going anywhere, but it pays a little dividend. And then, you know, in the last decade, it finally took off. But there were times you could just own this for, you know, literally nothing. It just wouldn't go anywhere. So finally caught on, or it's being manipulated higher, you know. Our friend Mr. Gates has got a lot of influence politically and so forth too. But in any event, the shenanigans of the earnings, the unrecognition, or ignoring some of the world events, the focus only on interest rates. So it's a game. And the question is, do you want to play the game and trade it? You know, we do that a little bit here. And it's, funny today, the Dow, I think, was down about 780 points earlier and closed only down 375. But I think that's attributed to the earnings that were anticipated after the close and the end of the month window dressing I mentioned a moment ago. So, you know, I think come once this earnings period is out of the way here and come next month, I think you'll see, you know, the decline resume and the correction will continue a little bit further. And then we'll see if it's going to take off into the end of the year, which is what I guess all the bulls are hoping for. So during the same period, a lot of things going on, Jim. You know, Bitcoin sort of topped out a little bit. There's some static going on with the Securities and Exchange Commission in Washington regarding clearing Ethereum for an ETF. Apparently, everybody was hoping that was clear sailing, and Gary Gensler, who's the head of the SEC, is apparently hemming and hawing and putting up some roadblocks, from what I understand, and that's disappointing some of the traders in the crypto world. I guess it ultimately would support Bitcoin itself if Ethereum doesn't get the ETF, but they were sort of counting on that. So that market got a little extended, might pull back a little bit more, but still overall, I think, bullish. Precious metals, you know, went through the roof here, not so much silver, but gold, and got overextended, and that's why it started to settle back here a little bit. I mean, for the longest time, we were just salivating, gee, will gold ever break out, you know, above that you know, 1900 high, and then maybe in our lifetime we'll see 2300 or so. Well, here we are. We got over 2400. So, you know, one logical thought is, well, maybe that's it. Maybe we finally got the number for years we were looking for, and we shouldn't be so bullish at 2400, you know. And so I think it got ahead of itself here a little bit. And my life experience with gold is it trades all over the place. And if you're just a holder, fine. If you can ignore, you know, 300, 600,000 point swings in it, that's fine. I myself have put out a report thinking it might get to 2,700, though it probably is really worth 10,000. So I suspect it's still a little bit of a corrective phase here too. But with all the shenanigans that are going on around the world with the BRICS nations and the accumulation of gold, huge purchases by China and Russia, we hear about this just about every day, and the inability of the COMEX now, which is the commodity exchange in New York, which handles a lot of the futures contracts. Apparently, they're not as aggressive, or their participants are not as aggressive as they have been in terms of slamming bids into that market and trying to depress prices. So maybe that's changing a little bit. So I'm going to remain overall positive, and I'm thinking, you know, a precious metal like silver is way behind, and that's probably not a bad bet considering, you know, has a lot of catching up to do compared to where gold is. Last time gold was at record highs, silver was at $50, and it's currently around $27, $28. So there might be some catch up there as well. So we're covering a lot of markets here, but oil is holding up relatively well. It's pretty extended itself, but didn't get into the mid-90s, which would be a sort of a breakout point if it gets above that $95 a barrel area. And I suspect it will. Many of the oil shares are holding tight. They're holding their prices. They're not really correcting that much. So maybe that's attributed to the World War III problem out there and the need that as EV demand and all this other technology demand expands, we find out more and more that you know, we need the crude oil to, you know, I've discussed this in the past with you about that. They, in fact, J.P. Morgan cautioned, they actually put out a little bulletin saying that the building of more wind, solar, and electric vehicles capacity could increase oil production by 2 million barrels a day by 2030. So that's a good reason to be bullish on oil, you know, if you want to take a longer-term view, which you and I have discussed many times. So, yeah, nothing goes up every day, but the demand will be there for oil. And we'll see if there's a political change of direction here in the U.S., if Donald Trump or Republicans get in and open up the spigots on the oil wells and the oil leases, which the Democrats and Biden have been pushing against. So that, you know, that might put a lid on the advance in crude oil, barring some world, you know, expansion of the world war or situation and blockages and so forth. But if there's more production occurring under a different political administration, that could help the pricing in crude not advance as far as it might otherwise. And that's a good summary of where we're at here today.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. The U.S. government is trying to reindustrialize the U.S. Is that a good bet? Materials that you'll need to renew infrastructure and factories, things like rebar and concrete?
Well, I sure hope so. I don't know. I may not be up to speed on any new legislation regarding that. Apparently, there may have been some. So you probably know a little bit more about that than I do. I'm very supportive of that if that's the case. I mean, depending on China and other places, you know, where a lot of manufacturing has been moved away from the U.S. But if we can forget that for a second, if we can increase the production of the needed materials to produce, you know, the
Well, we were just falling over ourselves in the pursuit of trying to find the cheapest object always, and then you find out, what if the other side doesn't want to make that for us anymore, or they're going to charge more because it's a monopoly. I mean, in Europe, the French president is now talking about how Europe has got to be a little more independent because they can't rely on the U.S. for defense, they can't rely on Russia for fuel, and they can't rely on China for manufactured goods.
The more independent each nation state is, the more secure they are, and there's no question about that. So, like I say, I'm not up to speed on what the U.S. is doing to change that situation, but I know we've been overly dependent on, at least manufacturing from overseas. But we do know that the U.S. and I think Canada as well is energy independent if left alone. You know, in terms of oil and natural gas and materials and precious metals and ores. Though I think we're a little short on the rare earths and so forth. There was a story for years, as you know, that China controlled the rare earth market. And there's been some push to try to change that here in this side of the world. So those rare earths are important for all kinds of, scientific explorations and research. So just about everything we use has got some of these rare earths in it. I don't know. There are some companies working on that now, but I still think we have a heavily dependent scenario with China.
Well, I always laugh at these no more fossil fuel protesters, and I always point out that clothing you're wearing, is that polyester? That's oil. The soles on your shoes, rubber? That's oil. How did you get here? Well, I came in a bus. Well, it's got rubber tires, oil, and the parts for that bus, even though it was an electric trolley bus, were in regular diesel trucks to go to the factory and to come back with the finished product on a flatbed truck. Oil. Everywhere, I'm just looking in my office, every computer piece, the plastics, oil. Even if you're not burning it for fuel, you still need the stuff if you're going to have a modern society, unless you're going to make everything out of wicker.
Yeah, you just wonder what's going through the head of the liberals that, are so critical of oil and their desire to get rid of it. Like our entire world pollution problem is only related to oil. That's not only the case.
How many coal plants is China? Yeah, how many coal plants is China opening up this year? Hundreds.
Right.
That can't be good.
That's the other funny part of the whole thing is what you can jump up and down about green earth and green energy here in North America, but is the rest of the world cooperating? And as you just mentioned, unless those coal plants in China have some pretty significant scrubbers to keep the pollution down, that offsets any positives that we might be creating here. Listen, I'm all for clean air. I mean, I'm not looking to pollute the air, but there is technology to eliminate or reduce it. We have nuclear, which is infinitely better, though, it's still fighting its way, higher, but that's changing, I think, slowly. So, I'm sure we're going to have a cleaner earth one way or another, or Mother Nature will. We'll see some dramatic event that we sort of joke about, super volcano or, asteroid or climate shift, polar shift type event that suddenly undoes any positives that we might have tried to create, So we sort of laugh about that, but it's really serious. There have been times where, human Earth is just taken off the planet because of the Mother Earth's indigestion. So it's coming at some point. Hopefully we don't see it in our lifetime, but we've seen some samples of it already, with some volcanic activity and bad weather and fun things going on the planet that really could change things dramatically. So we just have to take it a day at a time. We have no control over that. That's for sure.
Well, this article on Google says China's new coal-fired power plants are cleaner than anything operating in the U.S. Their emission standards are much stricter than U.S. standards, and demand for coal-fired power is falling so quickly in China, the nation cannot support its existing fleet. So, yeah, you're right. Scrubbers, carbon capture, and so on, if that's the real cause. Because so many people just keep saying, an electric car, you're just moving the pollution someplace else.
Don't know. That may be true. That may be true, Jim. I'm not up to speed, but you know,
on the rare earth front, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, and Quebec have some promising rare earth properties.
Oh, good. So we should find out what companies are involved with that, and if they're public, try to invest in them, because we definitely need those. We definitely need those. So that'd be great. Great opportunity.
Anything else we should be keeping a close eye on, Mark?
Oh, I'm swamped just with the items that we've been talking about. I mean, we'd even, you know, discuss all the riots at the universities and stuff going on here in the U.S. and in other places, the anti-Semitism issue, and I guarantee you if it was blacks being attacked, the National Guard would have been called in 2 seconds. So, you know, it's just amazing what's going on here in the U.S., and it's a result of the brainwashed students. I saw that in my own family with reports coming out of the university going back many, many years, trying to get involved in the process, trying to open up people's eyes to what was happening. You know, we just have faculty and, you know, I hate to say it, you know, communists or liberals or both that are just trying to bring down society and, you know, lecturing students and trying to change their minds and anti-productive stuff going on. So it's really heated right now. You know, I'm sure you're following the news. So that's not discussed very much on financial television, but it's a big part of the world, you know, what's happening right now. So turmoil everywhere, you know what I mean? It's a wild, wild world. Physical danger, financial danger, you know, is there geocosmic danger out there too? But, you know, we live with this through our whole lives. It's funny, I've been doing this for, you know, 45 years, and I'm a bit older than that, but just think about how many catastrophes or near disasters that we've been able to overcome, you know, from starting with the Vietnam War all the way through, and World War II before that. It seems like we always seem to pull our way out of it somehow. And as far as anti-Semitism and the Jewish people, I mean, that's thousands of years of history. And yet the Jews continue to survive. In fact, this week is Passover week. I celebrated a couple of days of that myself, going to a couple of Seders. And, you know, ever since leaving Egypt, you know, in the Old Testament, and the celebration of that through the Passover holiday, this is not a new story for the Jewish people. So anyway, that's what's going on out there. I don't think any of these are going to change, because it's been going on for thousands of years. But the positive is that the Jews still pull themselves out of it and are still here. And some of the greatest thinkers and scientists on the planet have been Jewish. And you can name from an Albert Einstein all the way down. So I'm proud to be part of that group.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitt, editor and publisher of the Leibovitt VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.